Luke 2. I'm going to put the scriptures up on the screen. If you don't have a Bible or if you just want to follow along there, that's fine too. But I want you to see if there are a name or a title that seems familiar in all of these verses. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Let me turn this on and see what happens. How about that? Look at that. There you go. The book of the genealogy of Jesus, what's the next word? Christ. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, the son of Abraham. Just a few verses later, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ. Okay, I need you to do this with me. Christ. Now the birth of Jesus Christ, good, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 2. Then when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. In Luke 2, we just heard this. Megan just read this. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. Later in Luke chapter 2, verse 25 and 26, it's one of my favorite stories in the Christmas narrative with Simeon. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Names mean something. Titles mean something. I kind of sat down and started writing down my titles. Like, I don't mean John Dale Baker, that's my name. But who am I? Like, who are you? You've got as many titles or names as I do. Let me throw some at you and see if they fit. I am husband. I'm a husband. I am a dad. I'm a pop-pop. I love that. Pop-pop. I am a brother. I am a son. I'm an uncle. I love to hear my niece Felicia and my niece Stacy when we talk on the phone and they go, hey, Uncle John. I love that. I just love to hear their voices say, Uncle John. I'm an uncle. I'm a pastor. I'm a friend. I'm a neighbor. And I'm a citizen. And those are 10 that I think of. And if you started thinking about all the hats you wear, whether you're a wife, a sister, a grandma, a neighbor, a school teacher, a council member, a leader, you just can start putting names to yourself. Christmas is very much about Christ. As a matter of fact, it's all about Christ. It is about Christ. But I don't know that people understand Christ. I do know this. It bothers me, and I'm just going to be kind of honest and yet respectful. It bothers me when I hear people go, oh, my God. Like, okay, I know God. You know God? Oh, you're referencing God. It bothers me when people go, Jesus Christ. Doesn't it bother you? It bothers me to no end. I want to say, oh, you know Jesus Christ? I know Jesus Christ. He's my best friend. So some people, it's just a swear word. And for some people, I did not know this. I heard this and I go, I don't believe this, but I think it's true. There's some people that think Christ is Jesus' last name. Hi, I'm John Baker and your name is? Oh, I'm Jesus Christ. Oh, Mr. Christ, nice to meet you. Some people think that's his last name. It's not true. The name Jesus means the Lord is salvation. And the name Christ is the same. You might see it in your New Testament as Messiah, or you might see it as Christ. It is the Greek word. Whether you see it as Messiah or Christ in the New Testament, it is the Greek word Christos. Christos is the way it's pronounced. And it means anointed one. Anointed one. And all of these verses I read just now are from the Christmas narrative, and every one of them mentions Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one who was chosen by God the Father, who sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He anointed him to be our Savior. Don't do it now, please. We do have Wi-Fi. I was someplace yesterday where you couldn't get on Wi-Fi because they just shut it off. They don't let you have it in the building. I was like, well, that's not fair. So I want you to look something up, but not right now. Did you know that in the New Testament, the word Christ, the name Christ, is used over 500 times in the New Testament? That's a lot. So if something's in the New Testament 500 times, and it's in the narrative of the virgin birth of Christ 5 times, I think it kind of behooves us to understand a little bit about what that is. So I want to give you kind of 2 big talking points. I want to talk about how Christ gives us salvation. Now, I understand I'm not going to cover everything in Christology this morning. That's not my point. But I just want to throw up some things for you to consider. And every one of these references I'm giving you has the name Christ in the passage. So these are not words about Jesus, not words about that use necessarily Son of God, although it might be there. But every one of these references that I picked have Christ in it. And I want us to see some of the things that we have in a relationship with Christ, the benefits of knowing Him. Number one, God gave us, Christ gave us salvation. Now, what does that mean? It means a lot, but let me give you just 3 things. It means, A, complete, not partial, complete forgiveness of our sins. Complete. Can you imagine if Christ forgave 99.9% of your sins, forgave 99.9% of your sins, and He let one slide, just one? What does that mean? Well, I know what it means. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Christ, we have complete forgiveness of our sins. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 13 is the longest single sentence in Greek sentence in the New Testament. There's no, it's kind of like talking to your grandma. There's no, you know, land the plane, grandma. There's no end to what, where are you going with this? Well, Paul was a lawyer extraordinary, and he got on this roll in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 14, actually. But in verse 3 through 7, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will." Verse 7 says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." Did you know that if you are a child of God, I want you to get this. If you are a child of God, you no longer live under guilt. You no longer live under shame. You no longer live under condemnation. I don't care what you have done. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we've done. I know what I've done. I know the stupid things I've done in my life. But I also know this. They have been forgiven and washed clean in the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. It is because of Christ I have forgiveness. And I no longer live under guilt or shame or condemnation. Do you remember what Christ said in John chapter 8 to the woman who was caught in the act of adultery? He said, "Where are those people that condemn you?" And she said, "They're not here, Lord." And He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." I'm not condemning you. I love you. I forgive you. Romans 8. 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Forgiveness. Christ gave me complete forgiveness of my sins. Number 2, or B, He gave me peace with God. Before salvation, humans and God are not okay. We're not. And here's the reason why. God is perfect. He is completely perfect and holy. He cannot sin. He cannot change who he is to acquiesce to who we are. So he is holy and cannot be unholy. We are unholy and cannot be holy. We got a problem. Like, I don't know who said it a long time ago, but your arms are too short to box with God. Like, God is holy and he is all powerful, and I'm not any of those things. He wants me to have a relationship with him, but he can't change. I want to have a relationship with him, but I can't change. As bad as I want to change, I can't. I can't be good enough. I can't be holy enough. I can't be perfect enough. So somebody had to do something. So that somebody was Christ. God ordained, appointed his son to come and be a human, to save humans for ourselves, to put us into a right relationship with him. So now God says, I'm satisfied. So the son on the cross satisfied the righteousness of God. He died. He rose again 3 days later. So he satisfied the righteousness of God. And he says to his father, are you satisfied? And the father said, yes, I am satisfied. So then he says to us, are you satisfied? And we go, are you kidding? Yeah, I'm satisfied. It's either be in a relationship with God through Christ or spend eternity in hell. You bet. I'll take the deal. This is a no-brainer for me. Here, where do we get this in the Bible? Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 8. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The hostility was removed and the relationship was restored. Merry Christmas. That's part of the Christmas gift. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Then we also have given to us, as part of this package, a new identity and a new creation, a new life. A new life. I remember when we adopted our son. We were talking about this with somebody this week. His mom was had a rough life. She was a drug addict. I think she had a tender, kind heart. We knew her. Got pregnant. Boyfriend said, it's not mine. I don't care what you do, it's not mine. Her family said, have an abortion. She was 19. She said, I can't do that. I don't know why, I just can't. So through a miraculous circumstances of a lady in our church who worked with her, who found out she was going to give up the baby, who told us, we called her and she said, I want you to have the baby. He was born on Saturday. We saw him on Sunday. We went to court. We picked him up on Monday. We went to court on Wednesday. It was just boom, 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 boom. We changed his name. He is now Zachary Michael Baker, but that's not the name he was born with. And she had a rough life after him. She had other children with other men. Died in the hospital in her 40s from drugs. Just liver cancer, but it was from drug abuse. I found out, we were up in Illinois for Christmas, and I found out she was dying, and I went to see her. Her name was Jill. I asked Zachary if he wanted to go. He said, no, I don't want to go. So I went to see Jill. Zachary was born in the same hospital as Tracy. So I remember the night that she was discharged with this little bundle, this baby. And she brought him out. We couldn't take him because he wasn't legally ours. So she had to walk out of the hospital with him in her arms. She put him in our car seat. And we drove off and left her standing under this street light in the parking lot. Well, fast forward 15 years and she's dying. And I went to see her and I said, Jill, do you know Christ? You know Jesus Christ is your Savior? She said, yeah, Somebody gave me some literature, and I read it, and I accepted Christ, and I've been praying, and I know I'm ready to go to heaven. I said, okay. So as I'm leaving the room, I prayed with her, and as I'm leaving the room, she said, she pointed at me, she said, tell Zachary to say no to drugs. I said, I'll do it. And I walked outside in the parking lot, and I thought about the whole circle of life, and I stood under the same light where we put him in the car. And I thought, wow. Now, all that to say this. She had a hard life. And if she had kept him, he would have had a hard life. But God in his sovereignty let us have him. And his life was completely different. Now watch this. If the devil is your daddy, you're going to have a hard life. But if Christ is your dad, Christ is your brother, Christ is your father, you're a new creature. You got a new name. Zachary's birth name was not Zachary Michael Baker. It was something completely different. We wanted to change it. We changed it. Zachary is from Zacharias. Zachariah means Jehovah has remembered. That's the name we picked. Now, I don't know why I told you that story, because I wasn't going to tell it. I didn't tell it in the first service. But I don't think we realize the blessing we have in Christ. That part of being saved by Christ is you are now a new person. You're not the same person you were before. You're not the person you were going to be. Without Christ, you have no shot at anything. None. You have no shot at a decent life. You have no shot at eternal life. You have no shot at abundant life without Christ. But because of Christ, here's what you have. Listen to this. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away and all things are new. And this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And he finishes that section by saying, we are ambassadors for Christ. So that's what we have. We have complete forgiveness, we have peace with God, and we have a new identity. That's what he gave us when he saved us. Look what we have now. We have strength for living, we have a new community, and we have a purpose for living. So let's talk about those. Strength for living. Christ gives you and I the endurance, the courage, and the victory over temptation in our life. When you have Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in your heart. You have, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what you got. So instead of hopeless, helpless life, you have Christ. Christ can change you. Forgive me for telling personal stories, but I got to tell you, my brother James, he was a walking mess. Hell-bent on spitting in God's face his whole life. And my sister and I basically kind of gave up on him. We would talk about James. Linda and I would talk about James and go, well, I guess he just wants to be this way. He knows. He didn't care. Something happened to him. Christ. I gave up on him. My sister gave up on him. And I'm going to tell you, the James before Christ, I didn't like that guy. We had nothing in common. Oil and water. But when Christ came into his life, man, I love that guy. And I miss that guy. He changed, completely changed. Here's the thing. When nobody can change you, Christ can. He can. He changes people all the time that honestly I just gave up on. And I'm not going to tell you, because you might be one of the people I gave up on. But I mean, I've given up on people and said, you know, I guess they want to be that way. Okay. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. If they don't care, I don't care. my brother James, man, he came to a, I mean, he got born again. You know what I mean? I mean, he got a dose of salvation. Christ backed up the truck of salvation, just dumped it all over James. And he was, all of a sudden, he's watching this service every Sunday. He's calling me and asking me Bible questions like, who are you and what have you done with my brother? But Christ can change people when nobody else can. So don't give up praying for your loved ones. Don't do what I did. You keep praying. Because Christ can change them and make them a new creation. And then Christ can give us strength for living. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Who's that? Christ, who loved me, gave himself for me. Christ did not save you and call you to live a life alone. He's with you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He will never leave us or forsake us. Second thing he gives us on a daily basis is a new community, the family of God. You and I are family. I like family. Now, every family's got crazy people in it. Like, how many of y'all got a crazy uncle, crazy aunt, mean grandma, sweet grandma, mean grandpa? Like, but they're family, right? We're going to go to Illinois in a couple of weeks, and we will laugh until our sides hurt. But that's what families do. You and I are a family. You know what makes us a family? Christ. Because you and I mean, if you just put us in a room and shook the bag up and said, okay, politics and religion, discuss. Oh, my word, we would have such a problem. But why do we love each other? Christ. Why do we care about each other? Christ. You love Christ, I love Christ. It is a no-brainer that we're going to love each other. That doesn't mean we're perfect. That doesn't mean we're going to disagree on occasion. Families do. But we have Christ. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In him, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. In this family we have is encouragement, accountability. You know the difference between encouragement and accountability? It's the difference between here and here. Encouragement's a pat on the back. Accountability is a kick in the seat. And sometimes, with family and friends, it's, hey, man, you're doing great. You hang in there. And sometimes it's, what are you, nuts? Because that's what families do. There is encouragement. There's accountability. There's support. There's a sense of belonging to something bigger than yourself. This new community. And then one more thing. There's a purpose for living. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's the gift of God. It's not a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are ambassadors for Christ. Got one more. No, I got it. I did it. I overdid it. There you go. So let me sum this up. In Christ, we have forgiveness for my past, redemption, peace. Peace. Isn't that a nice word? Okay. I want everybody to say this with me. I want you to say peace. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Peace. Oh, doesn't that feel good? Let's do it again. Peace. Now, I want you to say turmoil. Turmoil. Doesn't feel the same, does it? No, it's not the same. It's not the same word. Okay, one more time. Peace. Peace. In Christ, I have Regardless of what's going on outside those doors and in that street and in this community and in this world, I have the peace. I am at peace with Christ, and I have the peace of Christ that passes understanding. Peace, new life, strength for living, a new community and a family, a purpose for living, and one that's not up on this slide. A Savior who loves you and will never let you go. Never. John chapter 10. John 10, 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. If you have Christ, He loves you. And did you know this? I want you to think about this. Do you believe in the sovereignty of God, that God knows everything? Oh, yeah. Okay. So that means He knew all about you before you got saved, and He saved you anyway. That's not because we're so great. It's because He is. He loves you. And He will never let you go. What a Christmas present. The greatest Christmas present I've ever gotten is Christ. Christ in me. Hope of glory. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for sending Your Son, the Anointed One, the Chosen One, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring us salvation, to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sin, to save us from our own weaknesses and wickednesses, and to take us into the family, your family. I don't deserve to be in Your family. And yet You open the screen door and You open the front door and You say, come on in. Christ made it possible for you to be a part of us. Come on in here. Grab you a seat at the table. Get something to eat. Your family. That's because of Christ. Thank You for peace. Thank You for forgiveness. Redemption. A sense of purpose and belonging. A reason to get up in the morning. And the ability to sleep at night. Because of Christ. Thank You for this time. Just to stop for a few minutes and think about our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one You sent, Your Son, the Anointed One, for us. We're so thankful, so grateful, so humble, so unable to even articulate the words that You deserve to hear. But we do thank You. And we do praise You. And we pray this prayer in the name of Your Son, who You over 500 times called Christ. We pray it in His most holy, precious name. And all God's people say it.